And the original plan was get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Amen. Just because storms came up, just because situations changed, did not change the ultimate plan. Hallelujah. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. Hallelujah. And he's faithful to us. Amen. Can you say that today, that he's faithful to us? Hallelujah. And we are thankful for that in your life today. Amen. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. Great to see Lynn back in the States again. Amen. Did you want to say anything on your trip to Brazil? Or?
It was really outstanding. And was, the first event we had was there's a group that is, they call it IDE, which I think means go, preach, love. It's like, you know, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. And the first event we had probably over 750 young people that showed up for this event from like 9 in the morning till 7 in the evening. And it was like I was the keynote speaker for two times, and there was one other speaker who was interpreting for me that did that. And then Sunday night, we were at another church, and even on Monday nights and Sunday nights, the crowds were just several hundred. And on Tuesday night, then we went to another one, and it wasn't nearly as fancy of a building, but they brought buses. And when we rolled up, I said, dear Lord, this place is packed. I mean, they were standing outside, and I mean, it was probably 20, 30 pastors there. And then the next event, probably, it was a much larger building, but it was packed. They could have put more chairs in there, but it was, even midweeks, it was just the hunger and the level of hunger, especially with these pastors. And most of these pastors, except for exception of a few, were under 50. So there was just this massive move among these young pastors. And, I mean, they were just so hungry that it was like five or six of them followed me to the airport. I mean, they literally followed me right to the gate and kept on asking me questions till I literally got on the airplane. And so there just was a openness to everything that we were sharing and just a real reformation and a revolution there. So it was very effective, and it, you know, really impacted that nation on a huge level. I did appreciate the fact they didn't make me preach day and night every day, so we did get to see a few things. We got to go to a soccer game that in a huge stadium, and we had a skybox with a catering and all that, so it was really quite an experience to get to do some of that, and we got to see some things there. But the trip there is the extreme exhausting. Left at 2:30 in the morning, flew all night to Panama, and then 3 hours on the ground to Panama, another 5 hours to Washington Dulles. But you are about that point ready to pay $500 for a bed of any kind to sleep on. So, but it was very, very effective, and I know we will definitely return, and they will probably come here. One of the key pastors, he has a wife who's going to have a baby in September, or they would probably come over this year to our conference. But it was just huge what's happening in that nation, not just the gospel of grace, but the gospel of the kingdom as well, and that's the pieces they were looking for. And it was kind of amazing. I probably have it's amazing to me the power of a camera. I just can't get over how that people find this around the globe. And so they had been watching the YouTube, and so I probably felt more like a celebrity in Brazil than I did in the United States, because, I mean, it would be an hour after every service just getting, you know, people wanting to take pictures and doing that kind of stuff. So I said, how did y'all find me? They said, we've been watching you on YouTube. It's amazing to me. So, you know, all of our partners that help us do that, you know, that's, you don't have any idea the impact. I mean, I'm amazed. I am overwhelmed at the impact that's happening around the globe with the gospel just through the power of the cameras that we use here. Because when you're sitting in this room back here where the TV studio is at, and those cameras come on, there's nobody in the room but me and whoever's filming, Jason in most cases, just me and Jason most of the time. And you have no idea that there are probably, you know, thousands and thousands, if not millions. We have the potential to touch 2.1 billion people. That's not counting YouTube. That's just, you know, but I could tell from just the YouTube videos alone that we have at least 1,000 views every time we air a program, because we have, I think it is 1,080 subscribers to our YouTube page. And you have to subscribe to, you know, that doesn't mean just who's watching, but that's how many people subscribe to it. And so with the rest of it, and then we just recently had Impact Network gave us a bonus run on Saturday. So we are now on Mondays at 4, we are on Wednesdays at 7, we're on Thursdays at 12 or 12:30, do you know, 12, is it 12, Eileen? Arlene, it's 12. I don't even know what times I'm on. We're on 7:30 a.m. now on Saturday because Impact just gave us a free bonus run on Saturday. So if every one of these follow suit and give us a bonus run, we could be on 6-8 times a week. So it's just huge. I mean, I'm just so encouraged. I sat on my balcony and thought about when we were young, thinking, sitting on this hill thinking, you know, never dreaming you'd ever leave Berkeley Springs. And Joyce and I have been to Peru this year, Lima, Peru. We've been to South America. And I sat on my balcony down there thinking how, you know, the word of the Lord has come to pass to be able to really kind of, it just, there's, it, while it's really wearying and it really takes a toll on you, there's something really satisfying about really living what you were called to do and touching the nations of the earth. And you just, it just goes beyond what I would have ever dreamed of doing. And so, you know, I'm having a blast doing it. I wished I had a lot of this stuff would have happened when I was younger because my body can't really take some of this. Anyway, it was really huge and a great move of God. There's a massive stir among the young people, especially the nation of Brazil, and just hungry for God. And I mean the move of the Spirit, the worship. I couldn't speak Portuguese, but you could tell the songs they're singing are the same ones that we sing. And the little clips that I put up of it, you could tell I could sing along because I knew the tune, but I didn't know the words. And so, but it was really an awesome trip. So it was really encouraging. My channels are Impact 268. That's channel 268 on DirecTV. On Dish Network. I don't know what channel it is on Direct. I don't know the channels. I know that it's there's a paper back on the wall. It's on the bulletin board. It's also on my website, ellenhouse.com. And they added, like, the 7:30 a.m. is not on that list, but it's the same channel for Impact. And GEB just added three major markets. They added the whole Bay Area, San Francisco, Los Angeles is now. We're covering that area. Also, Houston is on cable with them, and Tulsa and throughout Oklahoma is on with them. They also added cable in Trinidad, West Indies. We are on cable in Trinidad. We are on in the Bahamas on one of those channels. I have to look to see which one. So, Roku also. If you have a Roku, maybe a lot of you, the older ones don't even know what a Roku is, but you can get a stick at Walmart, or you can get a stick at Costco, Sam's Club. And it is an internet-based TV thing, and you can download the channel for GEB, and you can download Impact, and you can watch it there. But you can watch us on demand anytime on YouTube.
Amen. So GEB or Impact, and that's where you can find him, and Uplift, and YouTube, and Roku. And it sounds like I'm speaking in tongues there, doesn't it? Does Roku slice and dice and all that? No, that's not that kind of, okay. Amen. The power of the gospel. Amen. And if you are sowing into that ministry, you are touching people all over the world. And sometimes you think that, you know, what I could give is insignificant. My small offering or whatever wouldn't make much difference, but you'd be surprised at what a difference it will make. You know, and what is being done with that for our podcast that Robert uploads every week here out of our house. People are hearing it not only in the States but all over in other countries and things like that. So it's powerful. So what you're sowing into here, don't take it lightly, because God is using this house to touch people all over the world, and it's your voices that's being heard, and it's your faithfulness to your giving and your faithfulness to serve that is reaching the nations of the earth. And so we're so grateful that, so always overwhelmed and also so humbled by that. And wow, what a great responsibility that is, to know that people all over the world are wanting to hear the gospel. And so what a responsibility it is to be on track, or what we're saying and what we're declaring, that we don't have to go back in 10 years and say, oops, saith the Lord, and start over. Amen. I believe there's a clear word coming forth, and I believe it's powerful, and I believe it's life-changing. I had a gentleman call me this week, and he said, I'm just looking for people to connect with that are hearing what I'm hearing. He said, we're down here all by ourselves, and we thought there was nobody else out there. And he got a hold of a book or a CD or a show or something that you did with Mark Hamby years ago, and started hearing some things, and so probably are becoming into our conference. So we bless you for that. We bless you for your heart of giving, your heart of serving, and And the connecting, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I told you the Lord spoke to me a couple weeks ago and said that he was going to mend some nets. And I didn't really know what he meant by that, but I said, okay, I'm up for that. You know, whatever, Lord, you're speaking. And we started sharing about, you know, the nets. And I won't preach that whole sermon over again, but not just mending nets, but networking. That God wants to network us, connect us with other folk, connect us with other nations, connect us with other people. But how many know he's networking us just even in our own community? That God is placing you in contact with people that you can have a sphere of influence. And don't ever think that when God places you somewhere where it's just for you to have a sphere of influence, but also for them to have an influence on you. And so I'm becoming more and more aware of, Lord, why have you sent me here? What do you want me to glean or receive why I'm here? And what do you want me to impart or to give out of where you've placed me? Hallelujah. And so God is networking, and I really believe he is connecting with us with people, places, and things. And sometimes it may not look like what we're used to or what we're used to seeing, but God is making connections in places that we begin to flow together and become more effective in the ministry. Amen. How many know when Jesus spoke to the disciples and they were on the shore, the scripture says they were mending their nets. One says they were repairing nets. One said they were scrubbing nets. But ultimately, they left those nets. How many know you got to know one of the best things to know is when to fix them, when to scrub them, when to repair them, or when to walk away from those things and allow yourself to be connected to what God wants you to be connected to. Amen? Hallelujah. What they had done to that point had been effective. But when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, how many know there was greater nets, greater things? And so we taught about the parable of the dragnet and how all of that connects. But in all of that, we've been teaching about discipleship in this house. Are you getting tired of hearing about discipleship yet? Because evidently the Lord's not tired of saying it. So we'll just keep working on what the Lord's doing. But how many know, the Lord said to me a couple months ago, he said, Lisa, there's a difference in a believer, a convert, and a disciple. Amen? And it began to challenge me in my heart and in my spirit. Are we making believers? Are we making converts? Or are we making disciples? Because the commandment out of Matthew 8 is go and make disciples. Amen. I mean, no, that's what they were commanded to do. A disciple is learned, is taught, is tutored, is sets under an apprenticeship, is mentored, and then they train, tutor, mentor others behind them. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when he spoke to me and he said, you're living in houses you did not build, you're eating from vineyards you did not plant, and drinking from wells that you did not dig. How many are thankful for that this morning? We got here because somebody went ahead of us. Somebody plowed the way. Somebody did some planting. Somebody did some digging. Somebody did some building. Aren't you thankful for that? Anybody in here got somebody in your life that went ahead of you and was instrumental in you coming to find Jesus and to be where you are today? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the matriarchs and the patriarchs of old and those not so old who've gone ahead of us. Amen. But there's a mandate on us also to build houses, to plant vineyards, and to dig wells, and to see to it that those vineyards, houses, and wells will sustain the next generation. Hallelujah, for what God has called them to do. Amen. How many want to see greater things in the next generation to come than we see in this day? Hey, I'm up for big things. Amen. Anybody in here up for big things? Hallelujah. And I really feel like it's a time to go big or go home. It's kind of one of those things like we're up for big things. Amen. But I want to see even greater things yet to come. Hallelujah. We have not discovered all of the truths of the gospel. Hallelujah. And the moment you think you have is the moment you need to be tutored and taught and learned. Amen. Because what really happens with me is the more I learn, the more I know I need to learn. Amen. The bigger it gets and the greater expansion that begins to happen. And so he spoke to the disciples. He said, now you go make disciples. How many know he taught them? He trained them. He tutored them. They had 3.5 years of Bible college hanging out with Jesus, as it were. And at the end of the 3.5 years, they did not still fully get it. Amen. Can we agree on that? That gives me comfort. That gives me hope. Hallelujah. Because we don't always get it. We don't always have it figured out. But how many know there was something that took place in the book of Acts that changed? It changed everything. It changed the course of history. It changed something. He said, now here's what I want you to do. He gave them the command, but he said, I want you to go to the upper room and I want you to tarry there. until you be endued with power from on high. How many are thankful for the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. It is the dunamite, it's the dynamite power of God in you. Hallelujah. You are a force to be reckoned with. You have power in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And it comes with the evidence of tongues. If you don't have it, get it. I highly recommend it. Amen. It's just as simple as receiving it. You can walk up here. We'll pray for you to receive it. You can sit back there. Just go ahead and speak in tongues. We don't care. Get it in your car. Get it in your bed. Get it out in the yard. We don't care. Get on the lawnmower where nobody can hear you. We don't care. Just get it. Amen. Just get it. Hallelujah. But what I love is there's some things that happen in the book of Acts. Go ahead and bring that up, Carlin. And Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and he begins to preach. Amen. And how many know he's a different person than what he was in the first four gospels? How many know the first four gospels, for the most part, are prior to the cross? Right? The cross really doesn't happen till the end of the gospels. And then we step into a new era. We step into the book of Acts. It is the action verb. It is the activation of what they have learned and seen and heard and received. It's the activated gospel. It is the gospel in action, the Acts of the Apostles. Okay? And so then they come into the upper room. They're endued with power on high. They're activated. Okay, Peter stands up, preaches a great revival, brings souls into the kingdom. 3,000 are added. When the Holy Ghost comes at Pentecost, 3,000 souls are added. When the law is given under the old covenant, 3,000 died. How many know this is a new day? Hallelujah. But what I love about that, he begins to stand up and he begins to preach and says, and they were pricked in their heart and said, what must we do? Tell me more. And it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Amen. Just had a baptismal service. We identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. They were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How many know one of the things of the activation of the Holy Ghost is soul winning? I say one of the activation of the Holy Spirit is soul winning. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, no, our witness, our testimony, our life should be so as we win souls to the kingdom. Amen. That people come to find Jesus as their personal Savior. That they encounter the things that you encounter. That they have that presence of God within them. Hallelujah. So we're called to win souls. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? What did the apostles preach? Jesus. What about Jesus? Christ and him crucified. That's the only message they knew. That's the only message they had. They preached the cross. So when they would ask them, tell us about what's been happening, telling us about what's been going, how many know they just preached what they had seen, observed, and had experienced? Their relationship with the Lord, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his appearance to them after the cross, his activation of them, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. How many know that was the apostles' doctrine? It's not anything mystical. It's not anything we have to search and figure out. That's the message they preached. So they continued in the work of the cross and in fellowship. How many know fellowship keeps us connected to people who are thinking, believing, sharing the same things? Amen? How many know fellowship is very important? Staying connected. What I hear when people are calling in wanting to come to the conference, they're saying we need fellowship. We need to connect with people, hallelujah, who are hearing a word, hallelujah. We want to hear that word. We want to connect with people. Maybe there's somebody in our area that is preaching the gospel that we need to hear, hallelujah. So they continued in fellowship, hallelujah. We are better together. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And in breaking of bread, I believe that also goes with fellowship, but I also believe it goes with always putting before us the Lord's body. I mean, the greatest thing that Jesus did for his disciples when he mentored and he tutored them was to explain to them the bread. He does it by taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he takes the bread, and he blesses the bread, and he breaks the bread, and he gives it to the multitude. And then on the upper room, he takes the bread, and he blesses the bread, and he breaks the bread, and he gives it to his disciples. And then after the cross, he takes the bread, and he blesses the bread, and he breaks the bread, and he gives it to his disciples. And the scripture said, and he was known of them, what? In the breaking of the bread. How many know breaking of bread is how we come to know him, to discern the Lord's body? Hallelujah. And, you know, it says there's many sickly and weak among you because you don't discern the Lord's body. I don't necessarily think it's talking about that I didn't know that Monty had a toothache today because my discernment was out of whack. I think what it means is we don't realize that in the broken body of our Savior, our healing is there. Our salvation is there. Our life is there. Our power is there. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm ready for bondages to be broken. I'm ready for sickness to go. I'm ready for oppression and problems and struggles to be behind us. That song when we sang this morning, I exalt you, Lord. I said, Lord, I exalt you high above every circumstance, every situation, every mindset, every sickness, every death, every disease, everything that would try to exalt its name against the power and against your people in this house. I choose to exalt your name higher than any other name. Hallelujah, that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess. Hallelujah. Sickness has got to bow a knee. Death has got to bow a knee. Hallelujah. Poverty's got to bow a knee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so they continued, and in a breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. How many know our prayer is our communion with God? It's not so much our petitions or coming to God and saying, give me, give me, give me. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just coming and being silent, and maybe he might say, give me, give me. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes it might be what he wants to say to me, not so much what I want to say to him. Hallelujah. But how many know prayer is a communion? It's a talking. It's a where we begin to understand the heart of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah, where he begins to speak to us and he begins to empower us to do what he's been, what he's called us to do. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Hallelujah. How many are ready for signs and wonders? And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to them all men as every man had needed. How many know they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayers, and the scripture says, and they were givers. It said they sold their possessions and had all things in common, and they came together for the good of the message that they were preaching. Hallelujah. You know, I hear people say sometimes, well, tithing and giving and stuff, that's old covenant. That's under the curse, and that's old covenant. How many know the New Testament is even, if you want to go by the New Testament, it's even more tighter. The scripture says they sold all things they had and had all things in common. How many want to go back to the Old Testament and your giving? Amen. I mean, really, that's kind of how it is. But the old covenant is about having to give. The New Testament is about getting to give. The Old Testament is about the penance and the sacrifice and everything you had to bring. The New Testament is about being a cheerful giver and giving out of your abundance and out of your blessing. I don't have to give. I get to give. And it brings me much joy to be able to slip blessings in here and there and be able to be a tither and to be able to give to what I believe in. Hallelujah. How many know what you, if you believe in something, you'll sow into it. And you'll empower it to continue to be there for the generations to come. Amen? So we get to give. It's a blessing in that. Hallelujah. Next verse. Go on to Acts chapter 3. Can you go on to Acts chapter 3? I'm sorry. And so the continuation of this then is the apostles or the disciples begin to operate out of this mindset and out of this empowerment and out of the Holy Spirit. And so what we see is because of what they've received, because of what they've been taught, because of what they've heard, how many know as disciples, they go and make more disciples? Amen? Anybody remember the old Fabergé organic shampoo commercial? A couple. You tell two friends, they'll tell two friends, and so on and so on and so on. Amen? It was all about Fabergé organic shampoo. I think Farrah Fawcett used that shampoo, I'm not sure. And everybody under the age of about 40 are like, no, I'm kidding. You have me know who Farrah Fawcett is. Yeah, okay, yeah. She's probably getting up there a little bit. But the premise of the commercial is if you tell two friends about something you love, it's working for you. It's, you know, I got this great shampoo and it works for me. So you tell your friends and then they tell their friends and so on and so on and so on. And isn't that how the gospel is spread? Isn't that how the gospel is shared? Not because we're trying to build reputations, not because we're trying to build ministries, not because we're trying to build finances. If you know anything about me, you know I'm not a finance preacher. And I don't know a lot about the finances. Fortunately, I don't have to take care of that end of it. Hallelujah. But I, my heart and my passion is not to build finances, bank accounts, ministries, names. My mission is to build people. And people will build people. Hallelujah. And then that's how we build the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad for righteousness, joy, and peace in your life? Hallelujah. If ever I see a greatest need in the people of today, it's for righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. And that comes in the Holy Ghost.
One thing is everybody has their story.
Yep.
That, you know, your story is powerful. And that's what people connect to, is your story.
Yeah.
You know, what did God do for you? Because you're a firsthand witness of how the Lord either transformed your life or saved your marriage or brought you the peace and satisfaction you were looking for or healed your body. You know, that was probably the greatest message Dad preached was his story.
Yeah.
When you share your story, there's other people with stories that are similar. And you know, when you see the power of God to touch people's lives, they're a lot of times writing the same things that Jesus changed for you. So you say, well, I don't know the word. How could I be a real witness? Tell them your story. Tell them your testimony, you know.
Amen. People watch you. They watch how you respond in situations. They watch how you respond in circumstances. Hallelujah. The most powerful thing you have is your testimony. It's the real working thing. It's been there, done that. It's what's working for me. Amen. Your encounter, your presence, or whatever. You know, even in, we were talking the other week in Bible study about Jesus' first miracle when he turns the water into wine. And I love that story because they said they have no wine. And Jesus basically says, why is that my issue? You know, why are you telling me? And his mother just said, whatever he says to you, do it. And I love that because doesn't that just sound like mom, number one? He didn't take his excuse, but he said, whatever he says to you, do it. But I mean, no, I love that picture because even Jesus knew how to take instruction. Amen? He knew how to be under authority. He knew how to take instruction, and then he learned how to operate out of that. And he said, oh, you need wine? Then let's just make wine. Amen? And he began to demonstrate the kingdom. Hallelujah. And there's a whole big picture in that story. That story, and I don't want to preach that today, but we'll get to that some other time. But how many know it's important to be able to take instruction, to be mentored, to be trained, to be tutored, and then to train, mentor, and tutor others. Amen. I'm so thankful for all the people that have spoken to my life over the years. Amen. Hallelujah. That either have encouraged us or believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. Amen. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Hallelujah. And so here we have, he says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Everybody say Beautiful. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Some of you know they come out of what is the encounter, the presence of what's just happened, and they begin to activate what they've been told. And they come to the gate. Now, we talked a little bit about, remember we talked about believers. There's a difference in being a believer, a convert, and a disciple. A believer, you can believe something and not act on it. Amen? You can convert from an old way to a new way, but still not allow yourself to be discipled and disciple others. Amen? And then a disciple is in it for the long haul. You have made a conversion. You've become a believer, but now you've placed yourself in a position to be tutored, to be trained, to be taught, and to be activated, and then to go and make other disciples. Do you see the difference? Amen. Now, I also believe, you know, in the scripture where this, he says, he tells Peter, he said, "And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." How many of that's like right at the end of Luke? I think it's Luke chapter 22. He says that to Peter. And that scripture always bothered me because I'm thinking, after 3.5 years of Bible college with Jesus, and he's still not converted? Anybody ever think about that? Like, wow. But how many know, and I taught this not too long ago, but how many know his conversion, I believe, does not come until later when he's up on the roof and he sees the sheet that's let down. And God begins to speak to him and says, "Peter, rise, kill, and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything that was common or unclean." And he said, "Don't you call anything I've called common or unclean." And the scripture says Cornelius knocks on the door. He sends him down to the house of Cornelius. He gets to the house of Cornelius and says, "You know, it's not lawful for me to be here. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and sent me down." And he begins to preach Christ. And when he does, the Holy Ghost falls. Hallelujah. And how many know? He goes back to the Jewish council, and they said, "Peter, what are you doing? You know it's not lawful for a Jew to hang out in the house of the Gentiles with the bottom feeders." Remember we talked about the dragnet. "It's not lawful for you to be there." And he said, "Here's the deal, folks. I had a vision from God, and he began to speak to me by the Holy Ghost. And when he did, he told me to go to the house of Cornelius. And I went to the house of Cornelius." And he said, "When I began to preach Christ, the Holy Ghost fell, and it was out of my hands." The Holy Ghost took over, and it's out of my hands. How many know Peter had a conversion? How many know Peter was converting from some old mindsets to some new mindsets? He was converting from old covenant to new covenant. He was converting from Judaism to the cross and the power of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know there's a conversion taking place in me? See, I thought I was already converted, but I found out I'm a believer. I'm a disciple, and I'm being converted because my mind is being changed daily from an old mindset to a new mindset. And hey, I'm a believer now. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm being converted. Anybody in here had some conversion lately where you've been converting from some of your old ways of thinking into some new ways of thinking? And what's happening is God's about to open the gospel to the Gentile, to the Jew, and everybody, to the whosoever will, is about to receive the gospel. How many know Peter's about to get converted at the house of Cornelius? And so is the house of Cornelius. Hallelujah. That's powerful to me. So he goes up to the gate beautiful. Now, real quick, I'm going to give you an overall summary of the gate beautiful, but I'm going to give you some thought. So go home and check it out. The gate beautiful was also called the Nicanor gate or the Shushan gate. And it was the one gate that was made of bronze or brass. All the others were silver and gold coming up to the gates. Okay. It was called the beautiful gate because even though it was bronze, it was probably the most ornamental and most beautiful of the gates that came into the temple. It came into the court of the Gentiles or the court of the women. The court of the Gentiles and the court of the women did not allow you to go any farther than that. It was not only women that could come there, but it was all the farther that the women could go. It was all the farther that the Gentiles could go. And it was right near to where the place where only the blemished could go. Remember the series we did on everybody who was blemished that could not be in the priesthood, anybody who had a crooked back, who had a limp in their walk, anybody who had spots, anybody who was a dwarf, all of those were limited to those gates. And literally what could happen is they could peer over down into where all the Jews could go and where all of the other people could go, but they were not allowed to go any farther than that. Hallelujah. How many know what the power of the Holy Spirit is about to empower Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And what would happen in that gate when you would go in, there were treasure boxes, and it was the place of giving of offerings and alms and taxes and all of that things. There were treasure boxes that were lined up, and those treasure boxes, I love this, were called trumpets. They were called the sounding of the trumpets, because when somebody would cast their money into one of them, it would make a sound, and they were sounding the trumpets. When Jesus says to them, don't sound your own trumpet by giving your big offerings, but this woman who has given of her all has given all that she has. Hallelujah. And so that was the place where the trumpets were sounded when the penance was made and when the offerings were given, and all of that stuff was found in this beautiful gate. Hallelujah. How many know the man who was at the gate would not have been allowed to go much farther than that because he was blemished, broken, and unclean? Hallelujah. Well, Peter and John walk up to the gate beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none. The Message Bible says, I don't have a nickel to my name. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I love this, and it says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Hallelujah. Do you know anybody today whose feet and ankle bones need to receive strength, that are setting on the verge of something beautiful, that are setting on the edge of life, setting on the edge of salvation, setting on the edge of something big and great that God wants to do, and yet they're begging for alms and settling for less than what they could have? But Peter and John looks them in the eye and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he stood up on his own two feet and became walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Do you know somebody who needs to do some standing up, some walking, some leaping, and some praising God? I know a whole lot of people whose feet and ankle bones need to receive some strength. Hallelujah. What does Peter have? What does he have? He's got Jesus. He's got healing. He's got the Holy Ghost. He's got the power of the Holy Spirit. He just received it in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. How many know we need to activate the power within us? Hallelujah. We need to activate that power. And silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Now, you would think that revival and the Holy Ghost hoedown would break out all over the place, because it said they recognized this man. They saw him. They saw him in the temple, knew he was the one that had laid there daily begging alms. How many know people were coming in that gate to sound trumpets, to throw their money into the treasure box to pay alms? And so that's where he laid begging alms of those that would come in. Hallelujah. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, all of those who were in the temple, rather than rejoice, said, Peter, what are you doing? They did not recognize it, did not embrace it, nor did they want it. Hallelujah. I mean, by the end of this chapter, Peter just makes the lame man walk. He is walking, he is leaping, he is praising God. By the end of the chapter, they're arresting him for causing a ruckus. the same Caiaphas, the same Annas, the same all high priests, all of those who just arrested Jesus. He said, you think you've silenced him. But I'm going to tell you, he's alive and he's well, and we've been endued with power on high. If you think it's going to get quieter, it's not going to get quieter. It's only going to get more rowdy, so you better get ready. It's going to get more rowdy than it ever was, because what you thought you buried, if you're going to bury a seed, you better get ready, because when you plant a seed in the ground, it's going to grow, and when it grows, it's going to start to multiply, and when it starts to multiply, you're going to find out there's no way to silence what you've just planted. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. The worst thing you can do with good seed is bury it in the ground. If you want to silence it, don't bury it, because it's going to grow and it's going to bring forth good fruit. Hallelujah. He said, what you thought you silenced is about to break out all over this place. Hallelujah. Signs, miracles, and wonders begin to be activated. Hallelujah. How many know they were not silenced, but they became disciples themselves? They began to act out of what they have been taught, what they had seen, what they had been told, and they began to activate by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit is to the new covenant what the law was to the old covenant? Hallelujah. It's the power. It's the activation. It's the life of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Such as I have, what do I have? What do you have? I'm not going to get there today. Maybe we'll hit it next Sunday. But I mean, you know, the scripture said when the prophet went to the house of the woman who had the debtor, the debtors were coming, remember? And there was the widow woman, Elisha, and he goes to her house, and she said, the creditors are coming to take, they're coming to take me away. And they're coming to take my children. Hallelujah. And he says to her, what do you have in your house? Because until you learn to activate what you've got in your house, debtors will always knock on your door. You will always be in debt to somebody else to make it happen in your life if you don't realize what's in your house. Let me say that again. You will always be indebted to creditors or to somebody else if you don't activate what's in your house to make miracles happen. What are you saying, Pastor Lisa? I can wait on the pastor to lay hands on me all day long, or I can say the same Holy Ghost that's in Pastor Lisa is in me, and I'm going to declare and speak healing over my life, over my body, and over my sickness, and over my situation. I'm going to release healing right here and right now. I'm ready not for just the ordinary. I'm ready for extraordinary. Anybody in here ready for something extraordinary? We settle for ordinary when we can have the extraordinary. What's in your house? Hallelujah. What's your gifting? What's your talent? What's your ability? What's God placed in you? Because here's how it happens. The more you activate it, the more you release it, the more you find out you've got. Amen. If you want your talents to increase, you got to use them. If you want your finances to increase, you got to use them. They can sit in the bank all day, but if you don't put them to good use, they're not going to increase. Hallelujah. You can have connections. You can have abilities. You can have talents, giftings, our time, talents, and treasures. They're in you. Hallelujah. And so you can either choose to sit and say, oh, I just have a little bit. I just have a little bit. I just have a little bit. And you know what's happened? Your kids are going to believe the same thing. The scripture says they're coming to take her kids away because she doesn't know what she's got in the house. But by the word of the prophet, he said, you go ahead and activate what's in your house. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go find some vessels to pour into. You go find somebody who's empty. You get some empty vessels. Go into the neighborhood. Go next door. Knock on the door. Find some vessels. Find somebody to pour into. Bring them in. Bring them into the house. And when you bring them in, just start pouring in. Just start pouring in, and you're going to find out that as you pour in, the oil just keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And finally it says when she didn't have any more vessels, the oil stopped. And I bet she's thinking, man, I wish I'd have borrowed one more. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, let's get the mindset, man, I wish I'd have found one more. If I get to the end of the line and I go the way of death, I want to be able to get there and say, man, I wish I'd have found one more person, one more vessel, one more situation that I could have poured oil into. And I could have cursed the debtors and said, you cannot collect from them. That debt has already been paid. There's nothing here from you. Go your way, because their debt has been paid. Because we have so poured into every vessel that we come in contact with. I was thinking about, it's getting ready to be football season. Three whoops. You all, we know football player, no football fans in the house. Couple football. But you know what's been happening before season starts? Practice has been happening. You know what happened even before practice? What? Conditioning, training, what else? Before that, what happened? You had to draft somebody. Somebody had to scout out some people for on their team. Amen? They have scouts out there, and they start drafting, and they start finding people on their team that has the ability to fill the spots that are needed. How many know we need a quarterback, and we need a running back, and we need, I don't know all the other positions, but we need some other positions. How many know we need some cheerleaders? I know what they are. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. But I mean, they start finding people. There's an offensive team. There's a defensive team. I do know that much. Hallelujah. But how many know they start drafting people? I think you would work good on my team. Hallelujah. I think you could play a part on my team. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start thinking about us here as a team. And I want you to start drafting some folks that says, you know what? I think you could work on my team. I think you got talents and abilities. And I think you got something that you could pour into the people in our house. I'm going to start drafting me some people. Hallelujah. I'm going to start building a team that can fulfill the cries of the nations of the earth. Land, we need more people that'll stand up and say, I'm on the team and I'm here to fill my part, because there's vessels everywhere that are empty. And if we'll start to pour out and pour into them, we're going to find out that the debtor has no place in our house and he has no place with my children. I refuse to withhold my little bit of oil and what's in my house and allow my children to be indebted to debtors that they of bills and debts that they did not make. Amen. The debt's already been paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. Hallelujah. But she said she went to all the other vessels and she began to bring them in the house. She began to bring them in the house. And then she began to pour into them. Hallelujah. He said, now go and sell what you have. Go ahead now and take it out.
So he said, I was asking the Lord, Lord, send me a drummer. I need a drummer for my church. He said he was driving down Main Street. The Lord spoke to him and said, your drummer's over at the bar playing. He said, I went over to the bar and got him. He said, I went in there, and this guy was playing the drums. He said, I asked him, will you play drums for me Sunday morning? He said, the guy looked at him totally dumbfounded. And he said, well, do you have any drums? He said, I'll tell you what, if you'll come Sunday, I'll buy you a new set of drums to play at the church. And that guy's now his youth pastor. So it's amazing. He said, the Lord told him, your drummer's over at the bar. He said, I just went over to the bar and got him.
There you go. Go get them. Go get them. They're indebted to somebody else they don't belong in debt to. Amen. Go and get them. Bring them in. Pour into them. Hallelujah.
The oil and the vessels, and she went and got everyone. The Bible also calls that leaven. You know, it's like yeast. So, you know, the Bible says that if there's a little bit of leaven, it'll just swarm the whole lump, and it just takes over. So if you have it in you, and like you said, the difference between a believer and a disciple is it's activated. Well, yeast activates. So if you're baking bread, you know, or something, then and you don't add the yeast, but you follow all the directions, it's not going to accomplish anything, and you may have something, but it's not something that it's alive and something that really nourishes. But if you activate that, if you're a disciple and it's activated and you add yeast, not only will it feed people, but it'll feed them something that is more nourishing, and it spreads through the whole lump.
Absolutely. And once you get it in there, you can't take it out. Do you ever try to pick those granules of yeast back out of that lump of dough? You can't get it back out of there. Once it's released and activated, it's on. Once it's released and activated, it's on. Because the yeast becomes so part. You can't keep it from spreading. You can't keep it from being activated. Hallelujah. Amen. Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Here's my challenge to you. Number one, such as I have. There's a responsibility with being a disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's not just this responsibility that, oh, I have to do this because I'm a responsibility. It's something that is just so much who you are that it just becomes a part of you. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want you to start drafting people for our team. Amen. And I'm not just talking about this house, and that's all right too. But how many know we've got to start borrowing some vessels and start pouring into them? And we've got to start saying, such as I have, to begin to see feet and ankle bones begin to receive strength and cause people to have their walking, their leaping, and their praising God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready to see some people leap for joy that have been laying on the edge of something, almost on the border or on the edge of something, which has kept them at a distance? Hallelujah. But Peter and John looked at it and said, such as I have, I activate the Holy Ghost in me and the Holy Ghost in you and cause their feet and ankle bones to receive strength and to rise up. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. I don't want to keep you any longer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It goes along with our thought that we said we come in full and leave empty. Amen. Come in full, go out full. Pour out everything in you while you're in here and allow him to fill you back up. And then go out and pour into some vessels. It might be the person beside you on the pew today. It might be the person that lives in your house. It might be the person you work with. It might be the person in your community. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's activate the calling and the gifting of God of this house in our community. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you've not received Jesus as your personal Savior and you'd like to make that step or that commitment this morning, if you'd like to receive Jesus, just come on down. We'd be glad to pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. We just want to fill you up this morning with life and with joy and hope. Hallelujah. Our altars are always open in this house. Hallelujah.